All right, so today we're going to continue in our Why series. Last week we started off by asking, why the gospel? Why is the gospel important? And, you know, through this series, we're going to ask a series of why questions in the series. Anyway, that was a bunch of series in a row. Anyway, but we're going to be asking a lot of why questions. And if you have children, you're used to that question anyway, so... But it's not just enough to say you're a Christian. It's not just enough to go to church. But we really need to know why. Why we do things. Why we believe things. Because I think we miss so much in life because, you know, we're just talking about communion. That, you know, we just do communion because that's what we do the first Sunday of every month. You know, and that's not enough for me. It might be enough for you, but it's not enough for me just to, you know, go through a ritual and go through this routine. I want to know why I'm doing it. You know, what's the importance behind this? You know, why am I taking time out of my day to do this thing? Why am I taking my time out to go to church? Why am I taking my time out for this? And so we started off talking about why is the gospel important? And we talked about how the gospel was the good news. It's the news about Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross and how, you know, we don't deserve that. You know, we sin, we fall in short, and we need a Savior. And that's what the gospel is, that Jesus came as the Savior of the world. He came as the Messiah. And so, you know, the gospel and how that affects us as new believers and how even as mature believers, people who've been believers for like a long time, why is the gospel important to you? Because we still mess up. We still sin. We still miss the mark. And we still need a Savior. See, if we ever get the focus off of Jesus and the cross, then we're missing the point. You know, everything that we do needs to revolve around the fact that Jesus is Lord. Outside of that, we're messing up. Okay, and so that's what we talked about last week. And so today we're going to ask another why question. And I've left it pretty broad so that we can kind of talk through a lot of different things. But we're going to talk about why church? Why church? Why do we need to go to church? What's the point of church? You know, why do we need to take a day out of our week to come to a building and to sing songs and to listen to someone talk for, you know, 30, 40 minutes? You know, what's the point of it all? Why church? And so I'm excited about this because, you know, in our society today, the church is looked at as an organization. 501c3 nonprofit organizations. That's what the church is. And that is so far from being the truth. Because, yeah, we have to be, you know, a nonprofit organization to do what we do. But if that's all we are, then we're no different than the VFW, you know, or whatever organization is in town. There's no difference. And so we are called to be so much more as a church than just being another organization, right? And so, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, technically you're right. You don't have to go to church. In order to be a Christian, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again on the third day and that I confess my sin to him and I give my life to him and that's how I'm saved. It's by grace through faith that we are saved. So technically, no, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But I think if you're a Christian and you don't go to church, then you're missing a big piece of the puzzle of what your life is supposed to be about. All right? And I mean, I know people's been hurt by church. I know that churches have done wrong things and they've manipulated it. And I understand all of that. But we got to realize that church is full of people. And people do stupid stuff sometimes. They mess up sometimes. They act selfish sometimes, just like you do. And so the church is full of imperfect people. And that's life. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be, you know, crude or anything, but that's life. You know, life is not always going to go smoothly. Your church experience isn't always going to be just perfect. But we've got to realize that church is so much bigger than what I want from it. Okay? You know, a lot of people say, I've done the church thing, it's not for me, and all that stuff. You know, not all churches are the same. You know, hopefully what we learn today as far as why does the church exist and why do I need to go to church, hopefully this will answer some questions and take the focus off of the hurt that you've had in your past or the bad experience that you had when you went to grandma's church and you know they just looked at you funny and hopefully some of the things that we answer today will get the focus off of that and get it on what it's truly supposed to be about. All right? And so let's dive into this. We're going to look at four different scriptures today about church and what church is about. And so I want to start in Matthew chapter 16. And you know what usually happens when we decide we're going to go to church is that, you know, okay, I'm going to go to church. I want to be involved in it. And so what do? We go visit a church. You know, we go visit different churches to see, you know, what the different churches are about, what they believe, and all of this kind of stuff. And so we decide to look for the church, and we see if these churches meet our needs. You know, is this something that I need? You know, I have young children, so I need something for a church that has good children's programs. A good youth program. I need churches to have certain things for me. And so we're looking at that. You know, does it fit our schedule? Does it fit my comfort zone? Do I have the same beliefs as these people? And so we go and we check out churches, and we see which one's the best fit. Nothing wrong with that. You know, that's something that you need to do. And so we do that. And so we find a church that meets our little box of needs, and we begin to go to it, and we stay there until we find something that we don't like. You know, this person offended me. You know, this person sat in my seat. They didn't sing the songs that I like. You know, I don't like that pastor. And we go to a church until we find something that we don't like, and we leave that church, and we go to another church, and we do the same thing. And it becomes this endless process of going from church to church to church looking for the perfect church. Well, you know what? You're not going to find a perfect church. That's just the way it is. Because imperfect people are in church. And people are going to offend you. I'm sorry. I wish I could control every single person in this church where you would never get offended by what anybody says. But I can't do that. And, you know, you're not always going to like all the songs. You're not always going to like all the sermons. Our bathroom gets dirty sometimes. You know, it happens. You know, these things happen. And so what we call this is consumerism. Consumerism has snuck into the church. You know, I love food. I know y'all can't tell that by, you know, but I love food. And so when I go to a restaurant, I find like the best thing that they have, the thing that I like the most. And every time I go there, I eat the same thing. Anybody else do that? It's like, you know when you talk about a restaurant, what you're going to order before you get there. When we go through the drive-thru, it drives me crazy because my wife never knows what she wants. And she has to look at the menu. And I'm like, you know, we've been here a few times. You kind of know what's on the menu already. Yeah, it's like, I know before like you mentioned Taco Bell. I know I'm going to get a Nacho Bell Grande and a soft taco and a lemonade to drink. I mean, I know that's what I'm going to get. But consumerism has snuck into the church in that, you know, when you go to a restaurant and, you know, the service is rude or the meal's not good or, you know, the bathroom's dirty or something like that. And so you go there and you're like, I'm done with that place. And so I'm leaving Taco Bell and I'm going to go to Arby's now. You know, and so we eat there until we find something we don't like and then we move to the next one, you know, to the next one. And you know, that's what we do with food, right? Because we want good food and we want good service. But the problem is we've brought that into the church and say, I want the perfect church experience, and I want everything right every time, or I'm going somewhere else. And I believe if we have this mentality, then we're never going to plant in a church. We're never going to get settled in, because you can walk around this church and find things wrong, things that don't fit you, things that you don't like. You know, I don't like the color of the foyer, you know, and so I'm going somewhere else that I like the color of the foyer. I'm just like, I think we're missing the point of what church is. And so today, let's dive into this and see what the church is about. Matthew chapter 16. This is the first place that we see the church mentioned. And if you study Bible interpretation, there's something about the law of first mention that's very important. And so this is the first place that church is mentioned in the Bible, and it just happens to come out of the mouth of Jesus. And so let's look into this. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And I love Peter. He jumped up with the right answer. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." All right, so this is the first place that we see church mentioned. And it's Jesus talking about the church. And so I want to talk about a few things in this verse of Scripture, and then we'll move on. But one thing that some people have got confused is this idea of, you know, Peter answers the question, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God." Then Jesus comes back in 18, he says, "Now I say that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church." And there's been people that have interpreted that as that Jesus is going to build the church on Peter. All right? And I have a problem with this, because Peter wasn't perfect. I don't know if you've noticed that in the New Testament. I'm so glad I didn't live back in those days, because I don't want my story to be in the Bible to where everybody can read all the times I messed up and all the stupid things I said. I'm so glad. I can kind of keep some of that private. But Peter was not perfect. Why would Jesus build something on an imperfect person? And so I went and I studied into this, and I looked up Greek, and I became a nerd, and all of you nerdy people will appreciate this. And so I looked back in the original language to see what he's talking about. And when he says that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, that's two different words. In English, it's the same word, but in Greek, it's two different words. And so he's not saying he's building the church on Peter, in which Peter was like the leader of the church. And so, I mean, don't get me wrong on that. Peter was a very important part of the church, and that Peter, James, and John, they were the main three that started the church and that was leading it and was the leadership in it. But he said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." That's the word Petra. Petra, which means rock. It means like a giant outcropping or a cliff or this big massive thing. Upon this rock. I think of Half Dome when I think of upon this rock I will build my church. And so y'all have seen the pictures of Half Dome. It's this massive cliff in one of the national parks. I said it was Yosemite last time. I think I was wrong. Does anybody know what park that's in? Okay, anyway. Doesn't matter, but he said, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church," and it's this massive thing that he's talking about. But when he said, "You are Peter," he used the word Petros, which actually means a little rock off of the big rock. He says, "You are Peter, you are a little rock, but upon the rock, I'm going to build my church." What's the rock he's talking about? What's he talking about? Well, let's jump up here a few verses and see. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God." See, this is what the church is supposed to be built on. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That he is the Messiah. See, without us recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, then Christianity means nothing. See, the church is built on Jesus, not on Peter. And that's why he can say in verse 18, "And all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Because Jesus conquered our enemy on the cross. He took all of his power away. He's defeated. And so that's why Jesus can say that the gates of hell or the powers of hell will never conquer the church. That's good news. It doesn't matter what the government says, the church will never go away. It doesn't matter how many times people try to take out the church. It will never happen because it's built on Jesus Christ and the knowledge of that He is the Messiah. That's what the church is about. That is the church. See, church was not a man-made idea, but it was a God idea. And as long as we keep the church on that, as that this is God's church, this is His idea. See, we can come up with all kinds of plans that we want to. You know, we can come up with vision statements and all of those kind of things, mission statements, and we can come up with all of these plans, but if we're not basing it on Jesus Christ, then we're going to fail. Okay? And so, you know, church is not a man-made idea. See, today we're talking about why church. Why do we need to go to church? It's not because man told us to, because man made up this organization to keep everybody in line and to keep everybody straight and organized. No, this was God's idea. And if it's God's idea, I need to be listening to it, and I need to be a part of this, because I want to be a part of what God's about. In His story and His plan, I need to be a part of that. All right? So the church was God's idea. So what is the church about? As we look into the book of Acts, we see the early church forming. And we see Peter, James, and John, they're taking the lead, and the apostles, they're taking the lead on the church. And they have nothing to go on. I mean, they've been in the synagogue all their life, and they've been in the temple and all those kind of things. But this is a brand new thing that Jesus started, and they have nothing to go on. They have the Pentateuch, and they have the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet because they're living it out. They're about to write it. And so they have nothing to go on as far as a curriculum. You know, Jesus didn't write a curriculum before He ascended into heaven. And so they had to go off of the teachings of Jesus. And so they just were living out what Jesus taught them and modeled in front of them. And so what did the early church look like as it began? In all that you read through the New Testament, we see that the church is built around relationships. That sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? The church is built around relationships. Number one, the church needs to be about preaching the gospel, about what Jesus did for us on the cross, and so that people can begin a relationship with God. That's the very foundation of what the church is about, is preaching the gospel and reaching out into the world that is broken and hurt, and it's dark out there, and we're supposed to bring light into this world. There's some churches I see that bring darkness into the darkness, and it's not effective at all, but it's all the sameness. And so we need to be bringing the gospel, the message of Jesus, out into the world. And that's where relationships begin. So it's based on our relationship with God. This is what the early church was birthed out of. Because of their relationship with Jesus and His command to begin the church, they began the church. And it's based on their relationship with God. It's based on relationships with other believers. One thing that I love reading about in the book of Acts is that, you know, they were just starting, and, you know, they didn't have buildings. You know, they didn't have established churches that they could go to. But when someone got saved, most likely they probably got kicked out of their family, because no Jew's going to believe in Jesus, because that's heresy, right? But that's what the Jews thought, that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. And so if you're following Him, then you're following a lie, and so you're out of the family. And so a lot of these new believers, they didn't have family. They might have lost their job. They might have lost everything to follow Jesus. And so as the early church was beginning to form, they went around and they met in houses. And they had meals together. And they had teachers come in to teach what it means to be a Christian and how to live for God. And it was a community is what they had. And then when people were struggling, other people would sell some things to help take care of the others. And so we see this system of support within the early church, to where they took care of each other and they were there for each other and they ate together. And this is what the church was about. But see, in this support that they were giving towards each other, it was a give and take thing. It wasn't just like one person was paying for everybody, just shelling out the money, you know, so everybody else could. No, but it was about, you know, I sell my stuff to help you, and you sell your stuff to help me, and we'll share it. And I'm not suggesting that we live in that, but I'm saying this is what the early church did to survive. And so it began out of relationships, and through these relationships, they began to disciple and to mentor the new believers. See, this is the one thing, one of the big things that I see missing out of the church as a whole nowadays is that we have new people coming in, but there's nobody pouring back into them. You know, yeah, we have discipleship class, we have life groups, we have Sunday service, and we have all this stuff to help the new believers. Well, that's fine, but you can only learn so much from a class. You know, what happens when I'm struggling in my marriage and me and my wife are fighting, and is there a class for that all the time? Is there a class that I can go to for that? No, but there's someone in the church that has a strong marriage that's been married for 40 years, and they're strong, and they've been through a lot of stuff in their life that can speak into my life. And it's those one-on-one relationships. That's what discipleship is. It was Jesus. He spent his life with these 12 men, and he poured into them personally. And that's what he said. This is, you are my disciples. I'm discipling you. See, we can't equate discipling to a class that you go to for 4 weeks, and then we're done. You're a disciple now. That's not what it's about. But it's those one-on-one relationships to where I'm taking my life experience and what I've learned, and I'm pouring it into you to help you grow. And in that relationship, that I'm encouraged to seeing you grow and seeing you, you know, catch on to those revelations and like, oh, so that's what that scripture means. So that's what's going on with that. And that encourages me, like, yes, God's working. God's doing some things here. And so it's that discipleship, mentorship. It's what we see in the New Testament. And another thing we see is that they begin to send people out to go start new churches, to let other people know, and they send them out and they're supporting them. And that's what the early church was about. Those ones who spent 3.5 years with Jesus, that was their interpretation of what Jesus was establishing. And I believe that's a pretty good model. And I believe it's a model that the church should be based on today. So that's what the church was about. And so I want to answer two questions real quick, because I believe church is very important. Like I said at the beginning, I believe that if you're a Christian and you don't, if you're not plugged into a church, then you're missing a big piece of the Christian life that God has for you. So today I want to answer two questions for you. Number one, why do you need the church? Well, I can do this on my own. I can study the Bible for myself. I can do it much better than those preachers. You know what I'm saying? Some of those preachers are dumb. You know, and so I can study the Bible and learn more that way. Why do I need the church? Well, let me tell you something. You need the church. And the other question I want to answer is that, why does the church need you? See, we get into this consumeristic mindset to where I go to church to get stuff out of it, and it needs to meet my needs and do all these things for me. But if that's all church is to you, then you're missing it. Because the church needs you too. There's a part for you to play in the church. In that we as a body need each other. All right? So first, let's answer the question, why do you need the church? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. It says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." See, this is the scripture that preachers use to make sure that you stick in church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know, and it's like a guilt thing. But there's some good stuff in this scripture. Why do you need the church? Number one, it says hold tightly to the hope that you have. I don't know about you, but sometimes I waver a little bit. Sometimes I get discouraged, and sometimes I get to where, like, man, is this thing even worth it? Anybody else ever been there? You know, it's so much easier living for the world than trying to do the right thing and live for God and go to church. And sometimes I get discouraged and I get down. And the Bible's encouraged me, hold tightly to that hope. Well, one thing that church does for me is that when I'm struggling, I can come to church and we're in a worship service and I see someone up over there raising their hands and they're worshiping God and they're just pouring it out for God. And I know that they're struggling to pay their bills, but yet they're still trusting in Jesus. That they might be struggling with their help, but they're still strong enough to worship God because their hope is in Him. And that brings me hope. If they're going to struggle and they're going to trust God, I can struggle and trust God too. Let's encourage one another, man. Let's help each other hold tight to that hope that we have in Jesus. The other thing it says, let's motivate one another to acts of love and good works. See, I need some motivation sometimes. You know, I love people, but a lot of times I don't want to love them in a way that I show it to them. You know what I'm saying? You know, someone's struggling, you know, and needs some groceries or something. Someone will take care of it, right? No, I need to be motivated to step out and do those good works and to love people. That's one thing I love about our Facebook page is that you guys post your prayer requests and there's needs out there. And I love seeing people just jump on that like, we're praying for you, brother. You can make it. Oh, you need some clothes? I got some clothes in my closet that I was going to give away. I'm going to give you some clothes. And we can motivate each other to that love and those good works that God's called us to do. And so we need that motivation. And it also says encourage one another. I need encouragement, guys. You need encouragement. See, when you're a part of a body and that you're known, that you're just not another face in the crowd, but you're connecting in, then we can encourage one another. There's certain people that I know personally that I can look at and I can just see on their face that they're struggling. You know, you just look at them and you're just like, what's wrong? You know, you got those friends that you just look at, what's wrong? What's going on? Don't talk to me. And we need that encouragement. But see, if you're not connected into a body, into a church, then how's anybody ever going to recognize that you're struggling and that you need encouragement? Because I can do it on my own, right? Oh, it's tough. I mean, you might be able to make it. But how much better is it than someone that knows you, that greets you on a regular basis, can look you in the eyes and say, okay, what's going on? The smile's gone, the joy's gone, what's going on? Let me help you. What can I do for you? How can I encourage you today? We need the church. Ephesians chapter 4, we see a little bit different perspective. Ephesians 4:11, it says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. This is what we call the fivefold ministry gifts or the leadership of the church. It says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until all come to such unity in the faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will all be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. See, you need the church because God has placed gifts and talents in the church meant to help you. See, He places leadership in church because He's given them gifts and talents that will help you in your walk with God. What's the leadership supposed to do? Number one, it says to equip. To equip you to do what God's called you to do. See, if it wasn't for this church body, I would never be doing what I'm doing right now. I mean, God's equipped me to do this, but it was through a church. It was through the church that I was trained and shown how to do what God's called me to do. And it's the same thing with you is that you know, God has a purpose for your life and He's gifted you to do things. But you can't do that on your own. I don't think you'll ever fully develop in who God wants you to be if you're not part of a local body that can help equip you to do that. I believe God uses the church in that way. If you're not connected with the church, you might not ever get developed and never fully experience what God has for you in your life. It's through the church that we get that. I love, especially over the last few years, you know, we've seen people that God's placed something in their heart. You know, a reach out or an event or something that's going to bless people. And these people step up and they're like, you know, I feel like God's calling me to do this outreach, but I can't, I don't know how to do it. I don't have the manpower to do it. I don't have the money to do it. And so the church rallies around that person and what God's called them to do. And all of a sudden, you know, it can be funded. And all of a sudden, there's people that are lifting that person up. You could do this. Hey, let me help you. How can I help you do this? You know, let me take this part of it and I'll run with it. And all of a sudden, you see this one person that stepped out, most likely in fear. Like, I know God's telling me to do this, but I don't think I can pull it off. And all of a sudden, because they were planted in a church, that the church lifts them up and they're able to fulfill this thing that God's placed in their heart where otherwise it would have never happened. That's why you need the church, is because a church is there to help you, to form you. It also says the leadership's there to build up or to encourage the body. See, if we try to do the Christian life on our own without the church, I don't think we'll ever make it. We'll never fully develop into what God has called us to do because we're the Lone Ranger trying to do it on our own. God formed the church to help you do what you're called to do and to encourage you to do it. So why do you need the church? Man, it's right there. It's all about those relationships and encouraging and building up. But the next question is, why does the church need you? I want you to know that you're an important part of the church. You are an important part of the church. Well, I just scrub toilets. You're a very important part of this church. Because I don't like to sit on a dirty toilet. You know what I'm saying? When I go to wash my hands, I want to feel like I'm getting clean, you know, and not. No matter what it is, you are important to the church. That I believe, I truly believe this, that God calls people to a specific church body. I truly believe this. In that he places you there because you have the gifts and the talents that that church needs. And that church has the gifts and talents that you need. In the encouraging and in the equipping and all of those different things, in that all of it works together to make the body work. See, we see in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, as I was studying this, I connected two scriptures. God connected two scriptures in my mind that I'd never put together. But it was really cool. In Romans 12, 1, I've heard sermons over this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You know, I've heard this sermon 100 times that we need to give ourselves fully to God. You know, even our bodies, you know, need to be in God's service. Jump down to verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. And we are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. See, this is why the church needs you, because you have a part to play. There's a reason that you're here. There's a reason that God calls you to a church. Yeah, I believe that we need to be a part of the church universal, all of the body of Christ, and I believe that all of that needs to work together. But God calls you to a specific body because you're part of the body. You know, how many of y'all have ever been sitting down on the couch or something, you stand up and your leg's asleep, and you're just kind of like, you know, like you can't feel your leg, you're just limping around, and I'm afraid that's what the church looks like most of the time. Because not everybody's doing their part in the body. You know, the eye can't say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the hand. See, it takes all of us working together in the gifting and the talents and the purposes that God's placed on the inside of us. It takes us all together to make it all happen. See, I believe this is the oil that makes it work. Is that the church is not a one-man show. The pastor can't do it all. The leadership team can't do it all. But it takes each and every person doing their part and what God's called them to do to make the church work. We need you. See, I believe that everybody's called to a specific body. You might not be called to this body. You might be. I encourage you to find the church that God's called you to be in and go be in that church. Through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like we said, there's no perfect church out there. But there's a perfect church for you. There's one that he's called you to. See, if we have this idea of this consumerism idea in our mind about church is that, well, I'm going to go to this church till someone makes me mad, then I'm going to go find a better church. If you do that, then you're never going to be a productive part of the body, and you'll never truly fulfill what God's placed in your heart. See, all of us want to have that feeling of being needed and a feeling of purpose on the inside of us. See, if you just come and sit in a pew for a little while and you hear some sermons, well, I didn't like that, so let's go try out another church. And if you never commit to a church, then you're never going to be fulfilled. You'll always have that emptiness that pushes you to somewhere else. See, we got to learn to get out of the seat and begin to do. To not just be an attender, but to be an active part of the church. Yeah, when you're first saved, you need to come, you need to learn, you need to grow. You know, you need to soak in. But there comes a point in your Christian life to where you stop just sitting there and step up and do something. Do what God's placed inside of you. Because I believe that there's so many Christians, they grow to a point and they feel like they get stagnated. And then they start saying phrases like, well, I'm just not getting fed anymore. And someone needs to listen to this because this is from God here. I'm not getting fed anymore. Well, the reason why you're not getting fed anymore is because you've decided to quit growing, and your next step is to step up and use your gifts for the church. When you take that step, when you take that step of faith, you're going to see growth again. You're going to hear God talk to you again. You're going to feel that excitement again that you felt when you got saved, that you felt like you've lost. It's time to step up and say, okay, I'm going to contribute now. And I'm going to activate my faith. All this stuff that I've learned, I'm going to activate that now and do something with it. And at that point, your growth is going to take off again. And you're going to be amazed at what God does in your life. So why does the church need you? It's all about the relationships. We're a body. We all work together. You know, don't be the leg that's gone to sleep to where the church is limping around and it can only do part of what it's supposed to do. We're a part of the body. See, the Bible tells us, it keeps going, it talks about how there's different gifts that God gives different people. He says, if you prophesy, speak out in faith. If you're to serve, serve well. If you're supposed to be a leader, then take that responsibility seriously. If you have the gift of giving, then give generously. It says, whatever you do, each of you has a gift. And that gift is a part of the body that God has placed together. And as we all step up and do our gift, then all of a sudden the body comes alive and is able to accomplish what God has called it to do. Use your gifts to serve God and to serve others. And I love what verse 9 says, Romans 12, 9. It says, don't just pretend to love each other, but really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. See, part of the reason why the church is unattractive to the world. See, we have the light. We have the good news. We have what the world's looking for in Jesus Christ. But the church looks at the world looks at the church and they're like, they're no different than us. And see, this is what they're looking for. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. See, part of what breaks down a church is when we begin to talk ugly about each other. When we begin to, you know, we see someone fall, we see someone fail, we see someone relapse, and we talk about them. We post on Facebook and we go tell our friends and we do all these things. It's not what the church is about. One of the things that drives me nuts the most is you see a pastor fail, caught in an adultery or they're an alcoholic or whatever the reason is. And it's this very public failure that they have, and the church crucifies them. I mean, just talks ugly and just The church is there to encourage, to motivate, to equip, to love, and to honor. That's what the world's looking for. And when we crucify our ones that fail, then we're no different than them. We're no different than the world. When someone fails, we need to go encourage them. Like, hey, I know you relapsed, but hey, listen, God will forgive you. Stand back up. Let's do this thing. You didn't fail. You messed up. So let's go. Let's pick it back up. Sometimes you got to throw them up on your shoulder and walk with them. It's like, man, let's encourage each other. Let's help each other out. Let's not talk ugly about each other when we fail. Because I don't know about you, but I fail sometimes. And I don't want you to crucify me, so I'm not going to crucify you if you fail. But I want to encourage you and help you and help you walk that out. Because that's what God wants us to do. See, Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples because you love each other. I think if we truly begin to love each other and to honor each other, then the church is going to, or the world's going to take notice. That they're going to see the love of Christ and the grace and the goodness of God. And that's when they're going to be attracted to the church. They're not going to be attracted to some crippled church that's dealing with one person and they're doing it all. But let's just know that you need the church and the church needs you. It's a relationship that we all need in our Christian life if we're going to make it, if we're going to strive and we're going to succeed in what God has called us to do. Let me say this and I'm done. The church is not about us. The church is not about us. It's not about my needs. It's not about what I want from church. But the church is all about Jesus and His plans and His purposes. See, we get into consumerism when I think it's about me. I didn't like that song. I didn't like that sermon. It doesn't matter. God has called me to this church. And it doesn't matter what you say or do. I'm here. I'm here till the long haul. I'm here until God says go somewhere else. And you're not going to get rid of me. And see, that's the attitude we need to have because this is God's plan, not my plan. This church is about Him and not me. When I make church about me, I'm going to get offended and leave. But if God's called me here and you say something ugly about me, I say, well, I don't like that you said that, but I forgive you. I forgive you. Let's work this thing out. That's what the church is about. That is why church is important. Father, we love you today. Thank you for all that you do. God, I thank you that you're the one that established the church and not man. But God, that we can take it to the bank. God, that you have a plan and a purpose, and as long as we focus in on that, God, that the powers of hell will never overcome the church. God, and we will strive and survive, and we will do amazing things for you in your name. And it's all for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand and worship today?